The following podcast contains adult language, explicit content, and original opinions.
All content is the opinion of Comics Brew and no one else.
It is meant for mature audiences only, so be warned.
Hello, everybody out there in Lazy Night Land. Before you guys get too deep inside this episode of Comics Brew with its warm and moist goodness, I want to let you guys know that we are pushing hard for Science Nights this week. We're going to be doing a big social media hit on Thursday. That's a 9/7. What we're shooting for is to show up on New and Noteworthy for the Apple Podcast.
Oh, that's important and, for new podcasts.
Yeah, and that'll give us a good head start. So, if all of you out there, and I'm including the two people in the room with me,
who
could really help us push Science Nights on Thursday 9/7, if you are listening to this in the future, just know that you missed a historic date, and better get on board when the next one happens.
Or build the time machine, go back to 9/7.
You can't.
And then hit us up, because we want to talk about your time machine.
That's a true fact. But other than that, here comes your regularly scheduled Comics Brew. Anyway, welcome back to the newest episode of Comics Brew. This is episode number 222. Prime numbers
the number
in succession.
Of the beast, sort of.
A third.
We're a third of the way there.
Yeah. We were damned from the beginning.
Yeah.
Do we stop at 666?
No. We don't stop ever. We can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. Although, ain't gonna honestly, ever stop. We make it to 666.
That and will Tyler be will finally be one. Like, Josh, leave me the fuck alone.
That's the last one. We can keep going, but we're going to rebrand.
So you know what the Comic Dads did? What? Is they did season two or year two and then did number one and stuff like that.
Like they renumbered. Two?
Yeah, yeah. So fuck that. We're doing legacy numbering, man. we're gonna stick this out to issue 750.
And then
reboot it to one
for like a year, and
yeah,
then,
and then
we'll
come
back
at 762.
Yeah, well, 763 when we renumber, we'll go 1 through 12, and then 763.
Absolutely. So for episode 222, I'm Josh.
I'm Adam.
No shock.
I'm Tyler,
and we are lively and ready for you.
I had a Red Bull. I'm hella awake.
Yeah,
I need a Red Bull. Tyler, let me drink some of your caffeinated blood.
No.
It's yeah.
My that's... blood. I don't even donate it.
another happily enhanced episode from Georgetown.
Indeed.
We have Bodhisattva.
The last of the gifted cans.
Yeah, we have Bodhisattva here just for us. Lisa and Mark, I can't thank you guys enough. You're the salt of the earth, the greatest people on the planet. And unlike in Blazing Saddles, you're not morons.
Yeah.
You guys.
And for some reason, they like us.
Yeah. No idea why. I can't understand how we ended up getting so lucky. But not looking gift horses in the mouth is one of my gifts.
Looking
so,
in the butt.
Everybody knows that. Look a gift horse in the butt. That's like how good it is.
Which is also a gift.
If I happen to get into it, then I'll be also down in some dead guy ale from Rogue, also donated to us.
I almost got a dead. I think it's called Dead and Dead, but it's Dead Guy Ale.
It's Deadception.
Yeah, it's Dead Guy Ale aged in Dead Guy bourbon barrels. But instead, I grabbed a Rogue Paradise Pucker.
I want to try that.
Ale brewed with natural passion fruit, orange, and guava flavors, so it's supposed to be sour.
You haven't even opened it yet.
I haven't even opened it because I'm going through some of the Bodhisattva. But when I open it, you're going to open it right now. Okay. Well, you let me know how that is.
I'm only getting up once.
Okay.
It tastes like a sour candy. It's actually really good. You should give it a try.
I'll give it a try when the Bodhisattva's done.
Can I try it?
Like a sourish.
Check it up.
Like a sour version of fruit
fine,
candy.
Fuck, I'll try it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. Only reason I actually was intrigued.
Yeah, I know, that's sour.
It is pretty damn good. The only reason I was really intrigued to do it is because I like Huckleberry Pucker so much.
That's good, though.
Oh, good old Hucklepuck. I like Hucklepuck.
Yeah. Hucklepuck that explodes if you throw a sour worm in
beer. Oh, that fucking shit was amazing.
Hey, we got a, speaking of comic strip plays, we got another one of those sessions coming up soon.
Oh, do we? Oh,
it is now September, by the way.
When's our next session?
When the fuck did that happen? Yesterday?
Friday.
Yeah.
Wait, when's our next session?
Our next session is a couple weeks, or 1 week-ish. I'll tell you off camera.
All right. Well,
I'll tell you now.
I can edit it out.
Yeah. It's 9/9.
Oh, right on.
Adding that to the calendar right now?
It's this Friday. It's next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I mentioned Comic Book Dads, or the Comic Dads. We have a 0.5 coming out with them.
I noticed that when I was starting this episode. There's a 221.5.
222.5.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, there we go.
No, there is a 222.5. We got Andrew back. He's not only repping Comic Dads, but he's also going to be talking to us about Renton City Comic Con.
Oh, yep.
Coming back around Saturday and Sunday, September 16th and 17th. At the Renton Pavilion this time, not at the Red Lion.
So that's good.
They upgraded there. They got a new beer from Four Generals. They've got the guest list has expanded. They're gonna have Barry Allen's mom from the Flash show at the con this year.
Really?
Also gonna have Alpha 5 from Power Rangers.
Alpha
the original Alpha 5 at the con this year.
That's cool.
Steven Smith's coming back, and he's bringing with him some scientists from, it's not JetBlue, but I think it's like Space Blue or something like that, or Blue Origin. It's the Seattle-based space program, like the privatized space program.
Okay, that's dope.
They're coming too, so it'll be a guy from NASA and two people from Blue Origin. So yeah, September 16th and 17th, we will be there in some capacity, probably as press.
Yeah.
But they're going to be doing more live streaming stuff, and they asked us to help out with that. And also go check out Waiting for Players channel. They have Andrew and I played 1001 Spikes, which, dude, 1001 Spikes would be a great drunk gaming.
All right.
It's if we ever do another drunk gaming, that's the next one. It's because that's just funny.
All right.
Or that, or I have also Move or Die. So either way, but. Without further ado, and to hold nobody else up, what's the news?
The news is that I am sleepy.
There's a hurricane.
There is a hurricane. Texas is...
underwater.
For the most part, underwater.
Yeah, right where Steven lives.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
Anyway, that's not the first news.
The first news will dominate the rest of the episode.
Yeah. First news is actually something we've been talking about forever.
Yes. So, it is rumored that the Justice League movie has a ton of changes now that Joss Whedon is directing it. There have been several tweets from people close to the movie. Oh, god damn it.
Yeah,
comic
I know.
Book resources.
I know. That's actually Cosmic Book News.
It is.
Let's give some track record. I think one of the weeks you were gone, Tyler and I talked about how, or maybe it was the week you were here and Tyler was gone. Either way, there was two people in the studio. We were talking about how, with Joss Whedon being attached, the guy that's playing Silas Stone,
has a bigger role.
He's got a bigger role, and he's Vic's. Cyborg's dad.
Yeah.
He's talked about how there's like a bunch of levity and a little bit more humor brought to the show after Joss Whedon got on board. He's like, he's noticing the actors are having more fun around the set and everything seems to be a little bit more lighthearted. So we've been tracking this story for a while.
Yeah, something in this article that is basically what a lot of people have been saying. A lot of people are kind of insinuating the film now belongs to Whedon.
Yeah. Well, and he was already working on the rewrites for all of the reshoots. He was doing a lot of the rewriting.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. So behind the scenes, I think Snyder brought him on before any of this was
going
down.
So it's also
kind
of rumored that Snyder handpicked Whedon to finish the directing job.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, ensemble is his thing.
Exactly, and he does a fucking amazing job of it. So hopefully, fingers crossed, Justice League will not be a convoluted mess like I thought it would be.
You know what's weird is, like, we have all these stories recently about how, I mean, there's been this Willy won't be for Batman and Batfleck. There's the Matt Reeves thing with the directorial problems with the Batman. All of this stuff has been happening for Justice League 2, but now we're all like, man, it's probably going to be good. Like, we're okay with it.
Well, because none of it's just like...
It's not bad news.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not in the sense that, like, oh, Joss Whedon came on and... Now it's kind of a mess, and we don't know what's going on. It's like Joss Whedon's here, and he's Everybody's like,
it's Daddy kind of like, Whedon's coming to fix it.
Lightened it up a little yeah. bit. There's more jokes, probably. Hey, look, this guy who didn't have a huge part, he's like a bigger part of it now. It's like, all seems positive.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Although, did you hear about Joss Whedon's ex-wife? When she coming out and like said a bunch of shit about him?
No.
Oh. Well.
Do tell.
Dish. No. Yeah, let's hear the dirty. Air this dirty rumor
this
laundry.
This is all highly, highly rumored. I mean,
so probably true.
Probably. Who knows? That apparently she came out and kind of railed against him. Not saying he's not a feminist, but basically being like, yeah, this motherfucker, part of the reason we broke up is he started having affairs with everybody on the set of Buffy. Just using his sort of position and...
Fishing from the director's chair?
Yeah. There's a lot. It's all very, very rumored.
Okay, on the set of Buffy, who do you nail on Buffy? Just
who do I?
Yeah, yeah.
Or
just from
who
a,
do
just
I think fits
huge,
in this rumor?
Just from a huge misogynist's point of view.
Eliza Dushku.
You going for Eliza Dushku. Okay, yeah. Cool. I'm actually going
dude?
After... No, that's... Oh. That's
Eliza the other
Dushku.
Slayer and when yeah. Buffy died.
Mm. Yeah.
Faith.
I'm going for,
You're going to say Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Of course.
Who's she? Which
Buffy's
one is she?
Buffy's little sister.
That's right, yeah.
Dawn.
Also, in Angel, Geena Davis. The black chick from Firefly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going for her, too.
She's not an angel, is she?
She's an angel, yeah. She's the end
oh,
of the
right.
world.
Oh, no, you're right. No,
she's
you're
the...
right. She's the crazy goddess they summon. Dude, you're I don't know why.
Yeah.
I thought she was in Buffy, but I watched more Angel than Buffy. I should have known that.
Yeah, Geena Davis, hands down. That is a fine woman.
Not the hottest woman on Firefly, though.
Kaylee,
the mechanic. Absolutely.
You guys like her because she's almost a dude. That's
what I mean, no,
she's
that's...
like, it's exactly
she's
where...
the cutest one on the
she's
cast.
Adorable, yeah.
I think Summer Glau is cute as a button.
She is too, don't get me wrong.
She's a cute little fucking button like, face. She got
nah,
dimples
no,
and shit.
Kaylee, way better.
Man, that's probably the.
Yeah,
the
anyway.
Most hey, we got we went far afield there.
Yeah,
so
back to Justice League.
Good news for Justice League.
Yeah,
let's see.
So bad news for Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 2 weeks, and I'm
it's
sure.
It's raining sideways.
Yeah, I'm sure you've
wait,
known this.
We do have. Oh, wait, no, that all.
Literally everything else for
yeah,
the news
is,
has
oh,
around the hurricane. Yeah.
So. Obviously, what you probably know and what you've been flooded with is that Houston and a great part of the Gulf of Mexico near Texas is underwater. That's due to Hurricane Harvey. Tyler, I blame one of your best friends.
Thanks, Harvey.
Yeah, what a great guy he is. He's almost as bad as Obama. It's been terrible. A lot of the whole chunks of the city are underwater. Definitely of the 144 church organizations there, only 10 of them opened up as emergency centers.
Yeah.
One of them not being Joel Osteen's place, which fuck that guy. But
what a real piece
aside
of shit.
From that,
get all these
what you will
poor
see
people out of my building.
What you will see, and is probably something that's a direct result of the backlash from Katrina, is a little bit more of humanity showing its good side. Not only do we have people from the Mexican government helping out,
which
Houston
I thought
Knights.
Was amazing, but
yeah.
even with Trump being a piece of shit, they were like, yo, Texas.
It's all people, bro.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's all people, bro. And that's kind of the great thing. You see humanitarians coming in from, like, people coming in from, like, Mississippi and Alabama, bringing their boats and trailers in and, like, pulling people out of the water and
monster
stuff.
Trucks have been driving around because they're so high, pulling
for
people
sure.
out and, like, delivering cases of water to people that don't want to leave and stuff.
So, obviously, there's great stories of heroes being, like, at, like average people being heroes to other people less fortunate or screwed or trapped.
Yeah.
There are still people trapped in Houston right now because of how the flood is.
Mm-hmm.
But what you also see is, like, this is a great time for celebrities to take a stance and use that power they have for good.
Yes,
so,
and that's what has happened here with
the Avengers.
Yeah, the
and
cast
Ant-
of the Avengers
and
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man
and
the
Wasp.
Yeah.
Yes, they got together. And, well, I mean, you could argue that Ant-Man's part of the Avengers. You know he'll be in Infinity War.
That's the small potato argument.
Yeah.
Here.
So anyways.
get it.
They all got together.
Man, I'm
chew.
On the pun train. Today.
Yeah, you
I'm
are.
Fucking chew-chewing.
They've all gotten together and recorded a nice, heartwarming little video trying to urge people to donate what they can.
To the American Red Cross.
Exactly. Which is wonderful, like you said, using the power of their celebrityism. If that's a word.
It's just their celebrity.
Yeah. To actually do some good. Now, granted, I don't see Gamora down there. freeing people from trapped buildings.
Well, she's in Georgia. Marvel films are filmed in Georgia.
Mm.
So she's 2-3 states away.
Fair enough.
And I would not necessarily, like,
I
would help in my way, and my way is, like, I'd send them aid. I wouldn't send them myself.
You don't know, absolutely. I don't expect any of them to actually go.
This isn't like 9/11 where we send firefighters.
Like, I don't
want to
join the Cajun Navy. But I send them some money.
But yeah, so they're urging people to go out, and I'll link the video to our website, but they're urging people to go out and donate to the American Red Cross, because them getting, like, the American Red Cross is going to know what to do with your money more than you just sending supplies willy-nilly.
So this week I actually did a bar crawl, this last week I did a bar crawl with Lisa and Mark from Georgetown, and Counterbalance Brewing, and that's the only one I for sure know is doing it, but all their proceeds over the Labor Day weekend are going to Hurricane Harvey.
That's wonderful.
They're cutting their profits for the weekend.
Yeah.
And put it
down there.
Harvey.
Well, speaking of other breweries that are going to be cutting their profits and their production to help the hurricane victims.
Those stores you can actually visit because they're not fucking ad blocked.
Yeah. Oscar Blues and Anheuser-Busch are both stopping beer production to can water to send down there. Now, at first you might think, but they already have enough water down there. Well, this is a little different. It's for drinking.
Yeah, this is drinkable water.
Yeah.
This is stuff that, like, you can't just drink out of the flood in your backyard.
Mm-hmm. Because that shit's nasty. It's actually stopped sewers.
Yeah.
Like, it's blocked up sewers and shit, so it's poo water.
So, Oscar Blues and the Ball Corporation, or the Bell Corporation, have sent 88,000 cans of fresh water to the affected area of Houston, which is great.
Yes.
And then Anheuser-Busch is, like, fucking tripling that. 500,000 cans
of emergency drinking water.
I mean,
they also have the resources to be able to do it to that extent.
Sure. So I think it's a more powerful message coming from a smaller company like Oscar Blues. Not to say that they're not conglomerated or they don't spread out. They are spread out over several different states, but Anheuser-Busch is an international corporation, and this is something they do regularly.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them ship. They shipped water to Sandy victims. They shipped water to Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, they've done it to Louisiana and South Carolina. They've shipped actually almost over 500,000 cans throughout different disasters.
Oh, that's Oscar Blues that has.
Yes.
Anheuser-Busch is in the millions.
Oh, easily for
millions,
sure.
Millions and millions.
They've got the infrastructure to do it.
Yeah. So it's always nice. Like, it sucks. Like, the circumstances, they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it is nice to see that, like, there is still humanity, even in the worst of companies, I guess I would say.
We're very biased against them, but they're just
terrible company.
They're just people.
I know. I don't like Anheuser-Busch, even though, like, one of the bar crawls we went to was Elysian.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talk to some of the higher-ups at Elysian, and they're like, they don't even bother with us. They're like, They listen to, like, reports as far as up production and up distribution goes, and that's what they want to hear.
They're just a ticker,
like,
in a ledger is all.
We're down,
you know?
And you just do whatever you want, you know? Yeah. Yeah, it's a great thing to see humanity come together like it's supposed to. Now, I just wish that was the case across the board and not just when it comes to natural disasters.
I'd like to point out, even with natural disasters, we pick and choose. Montana
is on fire.
And look, we're not doing anything
true.
For Montana.
Nah, it is true.
Natural disasters are the events of news, like comic book events. They ship books. Natural disasters ships humanitarianism.
Yeah, but like Adam said, Montana's on fire. We're not seeing
there's
like
a huge flood.
We're not
in
seeing
South
the fucking
but
hashtag.
But that happens all the time.
Dallas, no, it doesn't.
Southeast Asia
maybe
is
not Montana,
also underwater right now,
but like,
and we don't hear about that fucking shit at all.
Wildfires happen all the damn time. Which, I mean, they still suck, but it happens all the time. Hurricanes are just, like...
Hurricanes happen all the time, too. The Gulf is infamous for hurricanes.
They don't always make landfall like this.
It's true.
It's enough to be a concern, though.
The last time it happened to this scale was Katrina, and the last time it happened with Katrina, they were taking pot shots at hospitals.
Yeah.
I think it speaks to... Oh, yeah. Dude, people were camped out outside of hospitals with sniper rifles shooting people. During Katrina.
I mean, I knew
Katrina
that was... I didn't know it was outside of hospitals. I knew
there was
shit, like, outside of stores and just, like, to fuck around and stuff, but...
No. Katrina
I didn't know they
was,
were doing it outside of
Katrina
hospitals.
Katrina showed how terrible humanity can be.
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike Houston, they were not able to, like, humanitarians were not able to access New Orleans like they can access Houston. Houston's drivable from three quarters of its area.
That's true.
You can drive into Houston. Louisiana is a bog.
Just normally.
Yeah, so it like they were isolated to a level that Houston isn't.
That's but a good, yeah.
At the same time, you don't see this kind of like I think Katrina was an eye opener for a fucking ton of people in the nation.
Yeah. Probably.
But this and also
it was probably the biggest natural disaster of my lifetime for America.
Yeah, probably. Mount St. You know, that was 83.
Yeah, that's what's like for my lifetime. Yeah. Natural disaster. Obviously, yeah, things like 9/11 were arguably
those
much
worse.
Those
are artificial disasters.
Yeah. Well, no, they're still very real.
Anyway. Well, I mean, natural selection is real and artificial selection is real.
All right, yeah, fair enough. I see what you're saying. I realize that as...
So comics. Let's talk about comics.
Comic books.
I'm gonna go first. I'm gonna go first.
No. We're all gonna go first.
Yeah, Secret Empire.
Secret Empire number ten.
Oh shit, that's right. Let me grab that.
So
they are really, really pushing hard with the infamous shot from Civil War.
Oh yeah.
I was hoping
another
you guys
one
would bring
those.
That up. Okay.
Oh man.
So let's
set the stage. Let's set the stage here.
Captain America, the Hydra Captain America,
has an Iron Man suit.
Has a cosmic cube powered Iron Man suit.
Yeah,
and it's
has all but one shard.
It's pretty fantastic.
Almost complete cube.
It's still a pretty fucking dope suit, dude. Let's talk about dopey as far as suit goes. It's just Captain America's old suit, Iron Man.
It's more like the Iron Patriot.
But he's still got, like, he still has actual leather pouches.
Well, yeah, that too.
Well, and
but
it's
I'm
also,
talking,
like, his pants are still cloth.
Like, yeah, his like, it's just like a chest piece.
Yeah. It's, like, legitimate
armor. I mean,
it's
less of an Iron Man suit and more just, like...
Cap armor.
It's, like, just a cosmic cube, like, deliverance device.
Let's highlight something else in particular. So, written by Nick Spencer, obviously, he's been doing it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, pencils are by Steve McNiven. Steve McNiven did the first last issues.
Oh.
Which makes it even better that they reference that shot again.
The Civil War, yeah. Inks are by Jay Leston and colors are by Matthew Wilson, with additional art, as always, by Rod Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Rod
Rice is the one that's doing the Elseworlds stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
or the otherly, or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yeah, the Kobic mind
the
is really what it is.
Yeah.
I have to appreciate, you can obviously appreciate Hydra Cap's point of view here. He's going to erase everything that's happened.
Yeah, he's like, look, guys, it doesn't matter what you do because I'm going to get that shard and then none of this matters.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even like I'm going to win. It's that this will never have happened.
I just love that Wolverine comes in and he goes, going to stop you right there, bub.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I feel safe saying you ain't going to get many takers in this crowd. And Carol Danvers goes, Logan's right. You say the time for fighting is up, but it feels right on time to me. Just need to hear the words, I guess. And how Hawkeye is the one who says, yeah, I'm on it. Avengers,
assemble.
And we get a great amalgam of Avengers here.
Can I bring, like anybody listening, if you got this issue, go to that page where he yells, assemble. It's a full page spread of him.
Yeah.
Now, it's like a classic, like they're all jumping into action. Let's take a look at Carol. And they're just like...
Nonchalant.
Oh, yeah, Carol Danvers.
Just like her weird, like...
Bruh.
Okay, like, if you took her little sash, right?
Yeah.
It's trailing out the back. Her legs are just trailing in the wind.
True, she's just like, whoop, 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 whoop. And also, can we take a look at Kamala Khan real quick? It looks like she's a conqueror.
Let me grab you with my big hands.
I also didn't know that,
Give
I mean...
Cosmic Cube.
Storm and... Oh, I'm pretty sure Wolverine was an Avenger at one point, but Storm ever an Avenger?
Oh, yeah. Most people have been Avengers.
I don't think Storm's ever been an Avenger.
Or Rocket?
You might want to look that up.
I doubt Rocket's ever been an Avenger.
I don't think it matters in this instance.
You know what? They're Avengers now.
Right, exactly. You go out that door, you're an Avenger. That's my job. I have a bow and arrow. It makes no sense. they fight Cap, and Cap basically does what Cap said he was going to do. Fucking erase everybody.
Oh, no, wait. She was on the Avengers. Way back in
the 80s.
After X-Men Schism.
So the next thing that's noted, like, okay, so Cap still has...
I thought this was a really cool page.
He has an incomplete shard, or he has an incomplete cube, but he does, like, we see Cap rewrite history entirely through news headlines.
Yeah, it's a good page.
Hydra astronauts return from space with strange powers. It's the Fantastic Four, but it's Doom.
Instead of Richards.
Yeah. They hang Magneto and Charles Xavier.
Yep.
Mutant revolutionaries executed by state.
Like Hydra Assemble the Avengers.
It's just like the first Avengers cover, but like Thor's like class for his cloak or Hydra logos.
Yeah. Iron Man's got a Hydra symbol. Yeah, the last one I think is the most important one on the page. Hydra's genetically altered spiders yield superpowered results. Who's that right there?
That's a little Peter Parker.
That's a little Peter Parker. Look at the patch. Look at the patch on his arm.
I think it's an armband. It's an armband.
Yeah, it's like Hitler Youth.
Yeah,
like it's amazing.
It's also MODOK.
Yeah, no, Zola.
Zola.
But Cap literally rewrites all of history, and then, real quick, go back up a panel.
No, well, who is that? But who is the chained dude in front of the?
Oh, that's Nostradamus.
Yeah, so the chained guy is Nostradamus. There?
In front of the reflecting pool?
No, that's a statue.
Yeah, I know that's a statue, but like...
In part of the background, it's... See, this is the one thing I don't like, is that the whole background is set up like the Axis powers won the war, the Allies made the cube and altered everything.
Yeah.
Now, I still don't have it straight. Is the implication that that is what happened in
No. The implication is that that's what Kovic made.
Yeah, they made that world.
Yeah.
But in the Hydra world, that little bit, he is with Hydra, part of like this long past thing.
Nostradamus's? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who's the guy in the hood?
That is Isaac Newton.
That's Newton?
Yeah. It's from. He showed up with that in Hickman's S.H.I.E.L.D. series like 10 years ago.
Okay, cool.
And
good callback,
he's, like, part of the long-running, like, history of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a shadow organization.
You guys ever seen The Last Samurai?
Oh, yeah.
You know when The Last Samurai, Ken Watanabe, when his character dies and he sees the petals?
Yeah.
And it's like he's, like, perfect and stuff. Sure. That's the face that Hydra Captain America gets in this image.
Just like Ace said,
he's just like, yes, it is done. I am fulfilled. This is my goal. Like, you see him get what he wanted. And then I love this. Have you actually seen the deconstruction of this next page with Sam and Bucky and Ant-Man and stuff? And have you seen the comparison?
You know, I do like. Okay, so there's a couple panels of Sam striding towards Cap, and they cut in one. Infinity Gauntlet.
Have you seen the old images that cut from?
That is it.
It is.
It's not a homage like somebody drew it.
Panels are the same.
The panels
are all the same. This is Adam Warlock and Doctor Strange talking, I think, in here.
Oh.
Adam Warlock takes the place of Bucky, and Doctor Strange and Adam Warlock talk right here. And then Cap shows up, and then we have that
Cap
image.
Thanos, yeah.
And then it's still Cap and Thanos. I think I've saved it in my
Reddits.
In my Reddits, but I mean, it's gonna actually probably pull it up on there easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do like that. So we've been lukewarm on this. We've been lukewarm on this series so far. But one of the things that we have to put in is like this page in particular.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great page.
Yeah.
It's a great callback to Infinity Wars, and it's like the writer did his work. You know, he did his homework.
Yeah, oh yeah, duh.
Okay, let's speed this up because the rest of it is Bucky.
They pull a fast one on Hydra Cap.
Yeah, Bucky goes into the microverse of the cube and pulls Kovic and Steve Rogers out. And Steve Rogers and Hydra Cap fight.
Yep.
And that fight's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
That's a well choreographed fight, I think. So the cosmic cube is pulled out of Hydra Cap's chest, so he loses all that god power.
Mm-hmm.
So then it just becomes
she wipes the world back to what it is.
Yeah, and then
with one change.
With Steve Rogers, yeah. So then what it becomes is Cap in a suit of armor versus Cap.
Yep,
that's all it is.
Real Cap.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's a like I said, it's a great fight. I'm really proud of it. The thing I'm wondering with this whole story. So they increased the page limit to 10, or the issue limit to 10 a while back.
I think it was always 10.
Mm-mm, no, it started as 9, and then we had a story where it's becoming 10.
Oh, that's
funny. So they increased that, and
I
wonder...
I love that shot right there. Where
he grabs it?
Yeah, where Hydra Cap throws a shield and regular Cap grabs it out of the air, just like, this is mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's part of why I love that is when they start to square off... Hydra Cap's like yelling at him, trying to goad him, saying you couldn't even protect your own mother, and he doesn't respond. He says that shield doesn't belong to you.
Yeah, just glows right over it. So Charlottesville happened 2 weeks ago. They okayed the They okayed issue 10 of this happening months ago. But then you get to the part where it says you stand and you fight. You stand and you fight. When you see something fascist or you see something wrong, mm-hmm. when you see something completely against all the morals that you stand for, you stand and you fight. I know that they hadn't timed it. They didn't. They couldn't have. The stars weren't aligned for this thing to happen in line with that.
Proof Illuminati exists right here in comic books.
But
yes,
it's very poignant right now. Ooh. It's very poignant right now. And the fact that Cap actually comes out on top, I mean, duh. But... You have this, you have to wonder, like, was this where it was always going to go? Or at the last minute, did we decide to, like, did we decide to rotate this?
I think that the if anything current and political affected this story, it was just the whole, like, Trump becoming president and this little underbelly of America that's just horrible and racist kind of popping up was like an inciting idea.
Yeah.
But I don't think how well it lined up was on purpose.
Okay.
But
no, it couldn't have been.
There's no way it could have happened. So but
there's something that happened in the Zero issue
uh-huh.
that we talked about a lot.
Oh, picking up the hammer.
Picking up the hammer. Like, okay, maybe they're, you know, sort of worthy, at least in terms of like what they truly believe. And we get an answer to how that happened.
Yeah, Madam Hydra altered the words on Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Which. I didn't know that could happen, so that's a new thing.
It's a cosmic cube, so yeah, you can right. do whatever. But then
it's
when
a cosmic MacGuffin.
Somebody picks it up, and I think you know which Cap it would be.
Yeah.
But when he does, is probably one of my favorite moments in this whole series.
The two-pager, and it's just...
Well, I mean the panel right before that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, like he tries to pick it up, and Hydra Cap can't do it.
And he screams, he's like, why?
And then Cap just, like, moves hand away. Here, let me try. And just, picks it up.
And then, the rest is pretty much the end of any event that you've ever seen. Bright hope for the future. Here's what's coming next. Yeah. And also, we're Earth's mightiest heroes. And that is actually a really
pleasing image. Yeah, it's a very satisfying shot.
Yeah. And I think we're now well beyond the point of, like, can you name every character? Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
The epilogue is nice. It just gives kind of a closing to the opening, which was, but it's that, lunchbox spewing, inhuman from the beginning.
Yeah.
Gives a nice little closing to him, and, the world of Legacy is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm. It started this week.
Yeah, so overall, guys.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's one of the better events that we've done in recent memory.
Two issues too long, I think.
I'll agree with that. It's a little long, but it's still decent.
Good premise. A couple really great issues, like the Ultron issue.
That's still probably the best issue.
That is the best issue. And there was a little bit of fighting in it. It was just great. But then,
And I think we can take the message we can take away is that, like, it's no more heroes versus heroes. Yeah. I think that's what Cap meant by never again.
Mm-hmm.
Is like we're not gonna do the Civil War thing that we've been doing for the last 11 years. We're gonna
because it's we're tired have and villains. Old. Yeah.
Now there are Adam brought up a good point and he said that it's probably one of the most pleasing events that we've had in the last couple years. I would argue that we haven't had a DC event yet.
This is true.
Since Convergence,
we're gonna have Doomsday Clock soon,
and we're in the middle of we're at the beginning of Metal. So those are two events.
Metal. Yeah, that's right. We are talking about Metal recently, but I'm more excited about Doomsday Clock.
Of course.
Metal
looks good, dude.
It's ramping up hard.
And they've been releasing.
Did you see Jim Lee's cover?
Have you seen more of the covers of The Bat Who Laughs?
Yeah, I have. Well, he's on Jim Lee's cover. Jim Lee. Okay, so Jim Lee did the Justice League New 52 first cover.
Yeah.
And with all the seven members of Justice mm-hmm, League.
Yeah.
He did it flipped with the Crime Syndicate. For
Forever Evil.
For Forever Evil.
Yeah.
And now he's doing it for issue 3 of...
I would put... Like, that's an old The Batman title.
Yeah.
There's an old episode of The Batman. It's like the 2005 Fox show.
Yeah.
That called The Bat Who Laughs, and the Joker impersonates Batman the whole time.
Hmm. But no, I highly encourage people to look up Jim Lee's cover for Dark Knight's Metal 3, because it is his... New 52 Justice League 1 cover, but with all of the Batman, the evil Batman. It's pretty rad, and the Bat Who Laughs is front and center. All right, so I'm going to talk at you at you people about something I talk about a lot. James Bond, 007.
Spectre.
Not Spectre. But from Dynamite Comics.
Swordfish.
No, Moneypenny.
Oh.
It's a one-shot. Y'all know Moneypenny, right? Who's Moneypenny? Tell me who Moneypenny is.
She's M's secretary.
Uh-huh. Adam, any, do you know anything else about Moneypenny?
She's fucked James at least once.
Probably, yeah.
No.
Well, see, most of it is M's secretary.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple bits in the other series where, like, she's M's secretary, but she's also an incredibly competent agent in her own right.
Oh yeah, like they don't mess around and just have a fucking
She's not just a secretary. Like somebody comes in and she doesn't know. She's like, there's a gun right here that she can go for. Now this is basically just a whole issue showing off Moneypenny, and it flashes between now where she's on this mission or like an assignment with M to meet with his professor, and she's brought along an entourage of other agents. And then switching between now and then, and it's like scenes from her past. And it's basically how you kind of get the idea of how Moneypenny became Moneypenny. And you just see how much of a badass she actually is. And they do something that I think is really great in the then scenes for most of it, where you'll see something, not from like her eye view, but it's, you know, you see this scene from her point of view.
Over the shoulder or some shit like that. Yeah,
where everything is like a different color than it's supposed to be. Like, it's all green, but then highlighted in orange or red is like, for example, they're on a plane, you see everything in green, and then there's little circles in red pointing to like different cabinets and like backpacks, and it's like one of them has a parachute, another one has a gun. She, like, in her mind is highlighting, like, okay, there's the exit. Hmm. Like, who's dangerous?
She's casing the joint, essentially. Yeah. Or, like, she's highlighting the...
Like, taking, like, practical parts. She's assessing the situation.
There you go. It's a great way to put it.
And so we get a lot of that in her past and a little bit of it in the present, but the now story is what I really loved with it, because she, okay, in a classic sort of spy movie thing where, like, they'll go into, like, a big area and then suddenly somebody thinks, like, hold on a second. Like, something doesn't seem right. Something's off.
A bad feeling about this.
They're on a college campus. And she suddenly stops, and she just goes, hold on a second. Professor, how late do classes go today? And, like, everybody's walking and talking. She looks into this, like, onto the quad, and it's empty. She's like, how late do classes go today? Well, another couple hours. She's like, all right, that's what I'm worried about. Whips a gun out. And she's like, all right, stay behind me. And she spots people trying to assassinate this dude.
What college is she at, just for funsies?
I don't think they say, but it is in Boston.
It's in Boston. Oh, damn it. I thought, like, being British, I thought it might have been Oxford or Cambridge.
Yeah, it's a meeting with an American professor.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So that, like, could be any number of fucking colleges.
Yeah, M is there. It's like a big thing. Like, M is meeting with this dude.
It's like an exchange of ideas through top men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you get what you come to expect from Dynamite's James Bond stuff. A lot of sweet action, and Moneypenny just shows off how much of a badass she is and demonstrates. There is a scene where M is telling her, hey, you've got this new assignment. And she's asking, why am I being taken out of the field? And he tells her, I know this new assignment isn't as flashy as you're used to. And I'll warn you now, there may be stretches that seem downright dull. But this is one of the most essential jobs in MI6. You won't be here to babysit. You'll be here because I trust you to do what's needed. And then we see the now mission where she does exactly what's needed, and it is awesome. It's fucking great. I love these little, like, one-shots of Dynamite does with the James Bond world,
mm-hmm.
or, like, smaller extended series, like Felix Leiter was great, where it's just other characters in the James Bond world.
You get to explore them a little bit.
Yeah, it's not like James Bond is the only badass around.
Right.
I mean, in every movie you see, there's other people that do dope shit, but never quite highlighted like this. So it is a really great one-and-done issue, giving you a little bit about Moneypenny's past and also why she has the job she has. She is every bit James's equal, and part of the reason she has the job, you know, as a secretary is because people are going to underestimate her. And to their own peril, as you will see when you pick this issue up, it's It's $4.99, so it's a little bit more expensive, but I actually highly recommend it.
Is it longer at least, or is it just a bit more pricey?
I think it's like 3 or 4 pages longer. It's just a little more pricey, but honestly, I do think it's worth it. So if you have listened to me talk about James Bond comics and you like it all, what I've been saying, check out Moneypenny. One and done. It's written, I can't believe I didn't say any of this. It's written by Jody Hauser and drawn by Jacob Finger. Yeah.
Jody Hauser's the one in charge of Valiant's Faith right now.
Really?
Yeah, she's the one who brought her in from a limited-ish series to a
She writes
ongoing.
A damn good Moneypenny, so it's...
That's no surprise. She writes a really good Faith.
It's a fantastic one-shot. Check it out. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, if I may be so bold as to go next, I want to discuss Red Hood and the Outlaws Annual, number 1. It's written by Scott Lobdell, the art's by Tyler Kirkham, and the colors are by Arif Prianto. It's a pretty simple story. This takes place outside of the normal Red Hood and the Outlaws storyline. Your Outlaws and Red Hood are Jason Todd, Artemis, an ex-Amazon, and Bizarro. The premise of the story is Jason reaches out to Nightwing because he's about to infiltrate a Russian circus, and him and the Outlaws do Russian circusy things to infiltrate. So Bizarro's the strong man, Artemis is the horse-based archer, and Jason Todd essentially fulfills the roles of Johnny Blaze, the daring motorcycle do guy. And so that's the story. The reason that they're going to get into the reason that they want to infiltrate this Russian circus is they think it's a supplier and hideaway for the KG Beast. Either of you guys know who the KG Beast is? Yeah, he's pretty fucking gimmicky 1980s character.
Yep.
In this, he has a...
bit role in Batman vs. Superman.
Yes, he does. It's very terrible and small.
Yep.
In this, he's got a rocket hand that is also a gun / grenade launcher. It's like a AR-15 with a grenade launcher upgrade, also a knife on the end of it. He just happens to be able to like dunk off his arm and
shoot
it around. It's actually pretty cool, yeah. But that's the story. They get Jason asks Nightwing to help out in this bust of a circus. Because Nightwing's like, ooh, and circusy guy, and
it's one of the carny folks.
Yeah, and
small hands, smells like cabbage.
The premise of the story is pretty much that it's KG Beast versus Red Hood and the Outlaws plus Nightwing. Okay. That's the story. The nuances of it are like Nightwing can't help but hit on Artemis, like he can't help but do that, and that makes Jason a little jealous. What's his name? Bizarro ends up having a not safe for work relationship with a bearded lady. Here, let me show you. Maybe I'm past it. Oh, here we go. Yeah. So Bizarro comes up to a bandanaed woman, kind of like what's her name? Katana from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And she's very obviously figuratively. She's very her figure's great, but then she pulls her mask off and she's got a beard. And Bizarro says, my name is Bizarro. You are the most beautiful woman me have ever seen." And big ol' smoocheroony.
Oh
Bizarro makes out with a bearded woman, and then Jason looks over and goes, "Attaboy."
Why doesn't she just shave?
It's a good question, right?
Maybe that's part of her...
her powers.
Her cross to bear. She can't shave. Or if she does, it grows back too quick. I'm jealous of her now. I wish I could grow a beard that good, that quick.
She's more of a man than you.
She's more of a man than me.
Why is your level of manhood based on your ability to grow hair?
Because
pretty
decent
standard.
I want
Why?
A thick, full beard.
Because I said
beard.
So.
That's what I want. I wish I could grow like a thick, full beard.
Yeah?
I wish, okay.
I can give you a thick, full cock in your mouth.
Gross. No, I don't think you can.
I can find one.
Oh. All right. I can't argue that, I guess. gross.
Anyway, like the annual for this comic belies the greater nuance of the ongoing series. Like, I would not say pick up the annual because it's just as good as the ongoing.
But I mean, it is. Isn't it one of the more critically acclaimed books?
Red Hood and the Outlaws. Yeah. Red Hood and the Outlaws is amazing.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. It's better than Trinity. It's better than the regular ongoing Justice League. I would argue it's a rival to Batman and Superman, the higher numbered ones.
Ah.
Like, it's up there, dude. It's great. Like, Jason Todd is developing more. Like, this version of Jason Todd, I've cared about more than I've ever cared about Jason Todd.
Huh.
Because, I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, the Red Hood's a piece of shit.
Who cares about Jason
Todd? He's a real piece of shit, you know? In this, you're like, oh, man, he's actually, like there's a character there.
Well, hey, you know, it's all it really takes for a character to take off is somebody to do something interesting with them.
Mm-hmm. Or to care about it enough.
Or to care about the
not
character.
Just use it as a one-track thing. Yeah,
and I've, to be honest, Artemis has been an Amazon that's shown up from time to time. She's been, like, a part of Diana's past. She's been a part of the greater past of Themyscira before. But in this, she's part of a branch of Amazons that were part of, like, a Middle Eastern sisterhood. And like her whole thing is like their part of Themyscira isn't around the Greek gods; it's about the Egyptian gods.
But still, the same kind of but like warrior women
sect,
society.
Warrior women, yeah, essentially, yeah.
Warrior women, poet, peacemakers.
And the Bizarro in this pulls directly from Forever Evil.
I was going to ask: is it the same Bizarro?
If it's not that Bizarro, it's the same line.
Okay.
Because like Luther created that failure of a Bizarro for that one task, and then he made copies. So it's that specific Bizarro or it's in that line of Bizarros. Because in the regular story, Bizarro died.
Yeah,
and Luther had to bring him back.
Yeah, he took the body.
No. In Forever Evil, he died.
Yeah.
But in the Red Hood and the Outlaws, he was, like, that Bizarro was dying. And Luther just recently came in and brought him back.
Okay.
And he, obviously, in his Luther way, he's like, it was only me that could do this. Only my intellect could have brought this creature that I created
Dude.
Back. By the way, I'm sending you the patent papers because we no longer want to have propriety over this one Bizarro. You can take up ownership at your leisure. And then he walks away, straightens his tie, and is like, fuck
Dude,
you.
Dude, one of my favorite Lex Luthor moments is in, I want to say it's in Action Comics, but it was before the New 52. It was back when there was Connor Kent.
Yeah.
It was after he came back to life, so it was after Final Crisis.
Okay.
And there was a whole thing, I believe it was when he was in Action Comics.
Yeah.
And Lex was in prison. And he had some story going with him, and Lex...
Well, it's that whole thing, like, you're partially my father.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's why he was involved there. And they're hanging around for some reason Lex's sister. And
Lena. Yeah.
And, you know, she's crippled in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, almost brain dead. And Lex cures her. She's, like, perfectly fine. And then he immediately, uncures her to have this moment, like, I'm the only motherfucker on the planet that could have done that.
Yeah.
Like, well, come on.
I'm Lex.
Lex, motherfucker.
Like, I'm Pickle Rick. I'm Bald Lex.
He's such a dick. But...
He's a terrible, like, his egomaniacal center of his character is his greatest power and his fucking greatest weakness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love the fact, like, people wonder, like, why does Lex Luthor's suit of armor not have a, like, a helmet?
Because
he wants everybody to know
it was
that
him.
It's him.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was me, motherfuckers.
What you got for me, Adam?
I have the Supergirl annual number one, because there was nothing really that grabbed my attention too much
this week. We are, like, the last week of a month, and this is not, like, this isn't the hallmark part of a month for comics. August 30th was comics this week, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Supergirl annual number one, and unlike your annual, which was a standalone story, this one was not.
Oh, you were lost, huh?
Yeah.
Lost like fuck. I'm
like a motherfucker, yeah. So apparently Supergirl was shot with some crazy gun that actually amped up her powers, and her cells were starting to explode, kind of like in...
All-Star Superman.
And...
Red Sun Bullets.
Yeah.
No, wait, Yellow Sun Bullets.
Yellow Sun Bullets, yeah. I'm like, come on, let's get our colors correct.
Yeah, whoa.
So, let's come correct, you bullet-loving motherfucker.
The book starts out with her fighting a giant version of Solomon Grundy, and she's just so overpowered and can't control her powers that she's, like, accidentally breaking the sound barrier at street level.
Hang on, was there's like a basketball thing that's like it's Super Monday or something like that, right?
March Madness.
Okay,
that's not March.
That's not March. Like there's like a sports thing that's like it's Super Monday.
So Monday Night Football?
Would Super Grundy be like Solomon Super Grundy born on a Super Monday?
No, he says none of that.
Oh boy!
But yeah, so while she's fighting it, she fucks up all kinds of National City, and she goes to take off to figure out what's going on with the scientist. And during that, the Emerald Empress attacks like Catco, and which is from the show. I don't know if it's actually supposed to be in Supergirl.
Cat Grant thing.
Yeah. And which part of me made me think, like, well, maybe this is actually supposed to be kind of alongside the show?
I'm sure it's influenced by the show.
Yeah, it has to be. And then so, like, half of the book is this Cat Grant, like, trying to sneak back into her own building and take control of her own Cat Grant app because, I don't know, I was lost as fuck this entire book. If you're looking for a Supergirl book or a Supergirl issue to pick up and enjoy a little bit of Supergirl.
This ain't it.
Not the one. 100% not the book you're looking for. Art was mediocre, but I was just fucking confused the entire time, unfortunately.
Well, I'm glad you tried.
Yeah, poor choice on my part.
If you don't try, you'll never succeed.
Hey, sometimes you gotta take a gamble. And it's an annual. Most annuals are one-and-dones, right? Like,
yeah,
no,
they are.
No.
In my
I would say it's like 50. I would say it's like 50-50.
In my,
it used to be how long ago?
In my experience, yeah, it's more so they're one-and-dones than shit like this.
I would say it's like half and half, to be honest. Like, it's... Like, the last, during the New 52, there was a Flash annual that was directly out of the New 52 Flash.
Mm.
Anyway, so our third segment this week, and I think,
Yeah, this is you, because yeah, this is basically going to be off the dome.
Pretty much. I would want to start this off with, we fully recognize the significance and peril that a lot of people in Houston are in. And we feel bad about that. So, if you would like, please donate to the American Red Cross in order to give some relief to those people affected by Hurricane Harvey. That being said, let's make jokes about it.
All right. We should ship them a jar of dirt because they seem to be real lacking
Jesus.
On that.
Maybe like some fishing line or a rope or something.
Okay, before we do actually get into this, have you guys seen the photos of the freeway down there?
Oh yeah, it looks terrible. Yeah.
Oh no, it's literally like it's deserted and it straight looks like a river with like a mm-hmm. raging river with white caps and everything. And the only reason you can tell it's a freeway is because you can see one of the overpass signs like kind of sticking
out
of the water.
Of it, yeah. So, I wanted to figure out which comic book character, hero or villain, would have caused something like Hurricane Harvey, and why.
The Storm, she was pissed, the end.
Is that your answer? Is like you're done?
Final answer?
Not final answer, just a answer.
Okay. I mean, I had one immediately.
Sure.
Namor's done this already to Wakanda. Like,
that's a good point.
And he's tired of Texans. Is
you're
really
like,
what
yeah, this is canon. This is he done this. He done did this. All you need is one Texan to be like, oh, dang Atlanteans.
Yeah.
Aquaman did it in Flashpoint with London.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, he had Tempest come through and just wreck.
Great Britain, whatever it was.
I mean, obviously, it's easy to point at any of the oceanic fucking
yes,
villains.
Yes, ocean themed villains and heroes are ripe for
Superman
this.
Can do it.
Fucking what's his name? Tide Ocean Master. He's literally the master of the oceans. He can just whoop, it's done. Yeah,
what other weather controllers? Yeah, let's go. People that can't control water or weather.
Spider-Man did it. How did Spider-Man do it? He created a tidal wave of nano spiders.
Of webs.
Just made a big web and yanked real hard.
Yeah, just went like, heave-ho!
Jesus.
Iron Man did it because Tony got drunk and thought it'd be funny.
Punisher got a hold of some Doomsday tech and he's like, you know what?
I could just not do with Houston.
Let's just get rid of
it. Yeah. What I was thinking is, like, if you want to go sinister, like, you want to go, like, really...
The Sinister Six did it.
Super, like, subterfuge, like, someone's trying to control the world. Doom is increasing the amount of natural disasters across the globe in order to unify people under, like, an umbrella of fear. So, like,
that.
He causes natural, like, so...
I can also see Hurricane him just Harvey doing is, it because he's in, like, Texas.
Sure, sure. Hurricane Harvey is the first step along the line of several things.
Or, wait, no, Magneto did it because he did this in Ultimatum.
So Doom sets up through a manner of mystics and technology. He sets up Hurricane Harvey. And then the next thing he does is he makes the supervolcano in Yellowstone go off. Because I think one of the things that Doom believes...
We'd all be dead.
And I think what's one of the things that every villain believes, there's just too many fucking people on the planet.
I'm not even a villain and I agree with that statement.
I'm not even
We could use a good plague.
Yeah, that would suck though, right?
I mean, for some of us.
For most of us.
I would like to think that like Hurricane Harvey is one of, this is what I came up with, Hurricane Harvey is one of several things along Doom's line to decrease the population as well as, you know, overt his control.
While not putting blame on himself.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are you talking about? I just stepped up to be the leader.
Yeah.
Galactus. How could I start a hurricane?
Galactus did
ignore
that
satellite.
Yeah, you're crazy. Shut up, Reed.
That's a weather satellite.
Yeah.
Weather monitoring satellite.
Yeah, it's not climate. What you got?
I was saying Galactus sneezed, but Charles Xavier did
Galactus
it.
Tripped.
Yeah.
Like, knocked over. He's, like, stumbling through Earth.
Oh,
oops.
Shit, sorry.
Or Charles Xavier just convinced everybody that it happened and it's not real.
It's actually not happening.
Yeah.
We need to get the focus off of mutants. There's a hurricane. Yes,
hurricane.
There is.
There's got to be a hero or villain named Hurricane.
I'm sure.
There is an Avengers villain named Hurricane. He's that dude that, like, stands at the top of a whirl. Oh, it's Whirlwind.
Yeah.
That's his name, yeah.
Well, he did it too.
Let's see
what
else.
What do you got, Tyler?
Not much, because
just
I'm just continually derailed by, like, wait, hold on. Somebody actually did this. somewhere there's canon for somebody doing this.
Sure.
Namor did it.
Hulk did it with a big cannonball in the ocean.
He just slammed his fist down on Japan and a wave went through. Oh, I guess it wouldn't be Japan. He slammed his fist down
That's
on Johannesburg,
tsunami,
South Africa.
Not
and
a...
just a wave went through.
Butterfly
hurricane.
Effect, you know? It
yeah,
builds up.
Yeah, butterfly effect, man. A Hulk beats the ground, and there's a fucking hurricane in Texas.
Yep.
That's what happens.
That's the Marvel Comics version.
You know what happened? You know what really happened? Is Hydra and the alt-right caused Hurricane Harvey. That's obviously what happened. Also, there's gay frogs seeded by contrails from planes.
It makes sense. Hydra is a water term, and hurricanes happen over the water.
Hydro is a water term.
Close enough. Yeah,
it was all from the agents of Hydro. They did it.
It's an old Spider-Man villain. An old Spider-Man villain takes control of the world. How? Through water.
I feel dumb.
It's fine, man.
Well, I don't think anything.
I don't think anything's gonna top that. Be sure to check out Science Nights this week. We got all biology all the time, and. We got a comics dad's interview about the upcoming Renton City Comic Con. Also, be sure to check out Waiting for Players this week. They've got, dude, I was this close to buying fucking Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. That game is so fucking cool.
Is it?
Yeah, dude. It's just a first person Norse mythology trek, and I just was like, ugh. And I only wanted to play it because of Waiting for Players.
I'll have to look it up after the show because I've actually not seen any gameplay or anything.
Fucking amazing, dude. And then, as always and forever, I'm Josh.
I'm Tyler.
I'm gonna go read a book.
And we're sorry that we're offensive.
I'm not.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Have a good week.